So mixed reality, huh? It's one of those things, you hear about it and you can't help but get a little bit swept up in the hype. This whole idea of like blending the digital and the physical worlds. It sounds like something straight out of science fiction, really.
Really does. It really does.
But, and this is a big but, actually bringing this kind of, I don't know, this groundbreaking technology to market, well, it's a whole different ball game, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. We've seen some amazing, I mean, really amazing advancements in the field. But you hit the nail on the head. It's like mixed reality is still kind of searching for its place in the world. Like, what's that one thing that makes it a must-have, you know?
Exactly. And that's what's so interesting about the recent news with Microsoft and the HoloLens, right? Like, as that WebPro News article we're diving into lays out, they're halting production. Basically, they're hitting the brakes on this latest version of the HoloLens.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of makes you wonder if a giant like Microsoft is struggling to make mixed reality a thing, does it even have a future? I mean, what do you think?
It's the million-dollar question right now, isn't it? And it's especially interesting with Microsoft because they're not exactly known for, giving up easily, especially on projects that they've poured a ton of resources into. And that's the thing with the HoloLens. It's not like the technology itself is a flop. This isn't a story about a product that just doesn't work, you know?
Right. And to add another layer to this whole thing, Microsoft's saying they'll stop supporting existing HoloLens 2 devices in 2028. That's what, like 6 years from now? It's not exactly a lifetime, especially in the tech world. So anyone thinking about investing in the HoloLens right now has to think twice.
Absolutely. And this gets right to the heart of why mixed reality is at such a crossroads. It's not just a matter of does the technology work. It's about whether it offers enough value, enough to make it worth the cost. And honestly, based on what we're seeing, for the average person, the answer might just be no for now. At least that's what it seems like.
Yeah, because we're not talking about just upgrading your smartphone here, are we? These devices are definitely not cheap. The article mentioned Apple's Vision Pro, which is another big player in the mixed reality game, and that thing costs more than a top-of-the-line Mac computer. More.
That's right. So for most people, it boils down to a simple question. What am I actually getting for all that money? Is this something that will truly change my life, or is it just a really, really expensive toy? And this is where things get tricky for mixed reality. The article even used the phrase, a solution looking for a problem, which honestly, I think sums it up pretty well.
It's like they built this incredible car, something totally futuristic, but they haven't quite figured out where the roads are or even if people actually want to drive it.
Exactly. And to make things even more complicated, there are some pretty big roadblocks, some, well, pretty fundamental challenges that are making this whole mixed reality thing even harder to figure out. The article highlights a few of them.
Okay, well, let's hear them. We've talked about the price, but what else is holding mixed reality back? Okay, well, let's hear them. We've talked about the price, but what else is holding mixed reality back?
Well, according to the article, one of the biggest challenges is that these devices can be, well, let's just say, not everyone finds them comfortable to wear. Like, our brains haven't quite caught up with the tech yet, you know? They're not used to processing all those mixed sensory inputs for long stretches.
Yeah, the article even called it the puke factor, which, let's be real, isn't exactly the best look for a new technology.
Right. And it's not just about feeling nauseous either. We're talking headaches, eye strain. Some people even feel kind of disoriented after using mixed reality, even just for a short time.
Makes sense, though, when you think about it. You're basically asking your brain to do gymnastics it never learned. And if people can't even use these devices comfortably, it's obviously going to be a barrier to adoption, right?
Exactly. It all comes back to that question of practicality. If you can't comfortably wear these things for a reasonable amount of time, their usefulness in everyday life really takes a hit. They become more of a novelty, something you try out for a few minutes, instead of a tool you actually want to use regularly.
And then that loops us right back to the whole issue of finding those killer apps for mixed reality, doesn't it? Like, even if the price tag were lower and the comfort factor was better, the article still seems to be saying that mixed reality needs to find its purpose, its reason for being.
Yeah, totally. Because beyond that initial, whoa, this is cool reaction, a lot of users are probably left thinking, okay, now what? It's like having a Ferrari, but nowhere to drive it. You need open roads and destinations to make it worthwhile.
Right. So, where does that leave mixed reality then? Is it destined to be this niche thing, or is there still hope for it to become more mainstream? The article did mention the military's interest in the HoloLens, which seems kind of like a curveball.
Yeah, it is interesting. It really shows you how complicated the relationship between cutting-edge technology and, actual practical use can be. Mm-hmm. Remember those issues we talked about, the discomfort some soldiers had with the early HoloLens models?
Yeah, like it was causing nausea and headaches, even disorientation during testing.
Yeah.
Definitely not what you want happening in the middle of a combat situation.
Exactly. And that led to, well, funding freezes and a lot of people doubting whether this technology could really cut it in those kinds of high-pressure scenarios. But here's the thing. Despite those initial hiccups, the military hasn't totally abandoned mixed reality.
So they're still invested, even with all the challenges.
They are. And that's where Microsoft's IVS system comes in. It stands for Integrated Visual Augmentation System. And it's essentially a specialized version of the HoloLens that's been designed with the military in mind.
So while the consumer version of the HoloLens is being shelved, the military version is still going strong. What's the difference? So while the consumer version of the HoloLens is being shelved, the military version is still going strong. What's the difference?
Well, it's not like they're using completely different technology for the military version. It's more about how they're approaching the problem, I think. You see, the military, they have very specific needs, right? I mean, they're willing to put serious money into finding solutions that are tailored to those specific needs.
Right.
And in this case, even with the drawbacks, the potential upsides of mixed reality, things like better situational awareness on the battlefield, improved communication, even more realistic training simulations, it's just too big to ignore for them.
So they see the potential, even if the average person doesn't, at least not yet. But this whole idea of focusing on specific niches instead of trying to make something for everyone, could that be the key for mixed reality? What do you think?
It's definitely possible. The article even touched on some other areas where mixed reality might have a better shot. Like, imagine what it could do in medicine, for example. Surgeons could use it to, like, overlay a patient's scans right onto their field of vision during an operation.
Wow.
Real-time guidance. Potentially even better accuracy. Pretty amazing.
That's wild, like having X-ray vision but for surgery.
Yeah.
And you know what else I remember reading about? Architects and engineers, they're using mixed reality to work with 3D models of their projects, actually walk through virtual buildings before they even break ground in the real world.
Exactly. And don't even get me started on education. Imagine students being able to dissect a frog, you know, virtually without actually having to, well, dissect a frog, or taking a field trip to ancient Rome without leaving the classroom. The possibilities are pretty mind-blowing.
No kidding. It sounds like the potential uses are practically endless. As long as they can get past those hurdles we were talking about,
right? That's the big question, isn't it? And it kind of makes you wonder, what would it actually take for mixed reality to become something we use every day? Not just a specialized tool, but something that's part of all our lives.
Right.
What needs to change? Is it the tech itself?
Yeah.
The price? Maybe even our expectations about what mixed reality is supposed to be? Or maybe it's all of the above?
Huh?
That's a tough one.
It really is. It's kind of like that saying, the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. Maybe that's where we're at with mixed reality. Maybe it just needs a bit more time to, you know, find its footing, become more widely available, more affordable. Or maybe, like you said, it requires a bigger shift, you know, a change in how we think about interacting with technology and the world around us. Whatever the answer is, it's definitely something worth thinking about as we, as a society, continue to explore this whole mixed reality frontier. It's a wild ride, that's for sure.